So welcome to Lifehouse Church. Thank you for coming. Thanks for being a part. So glad to see your faces. So glad that you're here today. Grateful for every one of you. And those of you that have come for your first time, what a great day to come on, right? With free food and get to connect with people and get to know one another. It's really encouraging. So thank you. Jumping right in, we started a series about 7 weeks, 8 weeks, the eighth part right now. We got one more part. We'll do announcements after the whole service. So right now, he's jumping right into the message, which is awesome. But we are on part eight of the series of Joseph. And it's been this whole process, but it just kind of, you know, Thanksgiving is here upon us. And as I was processing that, I wanted to discuss something about Thanksgiving that kind of themed it. But really, as you look through the life of Joseph, which is Genesis chapter 37 through chapter 50, you won't really find anything specific about thankfulness, like the verbiage or like you find in the New Testament. Paul tells us to be thankful for everything. Philippians says, you know, be anxious for nothing, but with prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. There's a number of verses that speak of thanksgiving and being thankful, but it's just not in that story. But what's really cool is it's there. It's very, very clearly there. So I want to talk a little bit about a thankful heart. And realiness? and really is this strategy for being thankful as a growth strategy. Thankfulness as a strategy for spiritual warfare. Thankfulness as a strategy for getting vision, keeping vision, finding spiritual growth, finding depth, finding victory. So I want to look at thankfulness, and it's nothing new. I'm sure if you study thankfulness, you're going to find that subject, that it's not just a positive attitude. It's not just good manners, being thankful. It's not just processing and being nice. It's more than these things here. But when you look at Joseph in part eight, we're talking about a thankful heart. So this reality is sometimes the most powerful faith that we have is not necessarily seen on a mountaintop kind of experience. It's not necessarily seen when everything's going really well, I'm doing really good, I'm serving really hard, and my faith is causing my world just to be all together. I've got no issue, I got no sin, I got no trouble. And we think in our minds oftentimes that that's the spot where the greatest faith is. But I want you to know today from experience and from, you know, from the story you hear about Joseph, some of the greatest faith is found in the most difficult time of ashes, in the most difficult time of trouble and anxiety and strain. Joseph's life teaches many lessons. He teaches purpose in pain. It's a hard one to swallow, purpose in pain. Healing through testing. Transformation through love and forgiveness. These are some of the themes we find in the story, the storyline and the narrative of Joseph. But the final weapon of Joseph's life, I believe, is the thing that unlocked the ability to stand. For him to stand, which is thankfulness. Thankfulness. And I'm going to define it here in a moment. Like in Psalms 100 in verse 4, it says, we enter his gates with thanksgiving and then his courts with praise. I want you to look at that word gate, just like the entrance to a big castle, just like the front entrance to your courtyard, just like the entrance to your house. You don't get in. And you don't get access without thankfulness. And again, when I talk about thankfulness, what is thankfulness? It's not just a spiritual feeling. It's not just an emotion. It's a mechanism. Say that. It's a mechanism. It's a mechanism for transformation. That's what thankfulness is. It's a It's a growth strategy. It's spiritual warfare. It's a mechanism for transformation. It's not just a feeling. It's not just something you feel. It's not these, like I was saying, it's not just positive thinking or optimism or good manners or ignoring adversity and trouble. Things get hard. I'm just going to ignore it, and I'm just going to press through, and I'm just going to be thankful. And we don't deal with it. That's not thankfulness. So really, a simple definition, and it really is a simple definition. I'm sure it could be expounded on more, but it's the intentional recognition and celebration of the goodness of God in your life, past, present, and future. Let me say it again. It's the recognition and the celebration of the goodness of God in your life, past, present, and future. Past, present, and future. A couple of verses here. 1 Thessalonians says this, 5:18, "In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Philippians, written from a dude who was in prison. This dude named Paul. A little bit more than a dude, right? You know, it's kind of slangish. Trying to fit in, you know. Is it working? Some guy. Some apostolic. That'd feel cool. "Be anxious for nothing." Again, spoken from a man in prison. "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." It's a story I'm calling Living Spaces. There was a season of my life where I felt absolutely uncertain. I questioned calling. This is just not too long ago, really, just a few years ago, maybe as less as four years ago. I questioned my calling, my decisions, and really, honestly, whether I had blown it in the plan of God for my life. See, I pastored before this church. I was a pastor and on staff and part of a church a long time, for nearly 25 years or so. A lot of history with a group of people here in town. And it all seemed to fall apart, fall right through my fingers. Every morning, though, I would wake up with a sick feeling in my stomach. You know what I'm talking about? I think it's a thing, too, called like the Monday morning or Sunday night blues. It really is. It's like a pretty common discussion talked about in counseling sessions. The Sunday night blues, where you dread going to work tomorrow. You dread what's coming tomorrow. Those kinds of things. I had that pretty regularly. I was just sick to my stomach. So much so, it's kind of funny. I look back now, but I gave it a name. I called it AGS, anxious gut sensation. I'm not kidding. I was like, I would feel rough. And it just wouldn't go away. I'm not a guy who had anxiety a whole lot or had any kind of nervous breakdowns, or I didn't do that stuff. But I found myself struggling with this reality of anxiety. So during that time, I had this routine where before I started my pool route, I'd park at Living Spaces on 67th and Bell. Anybody know where that's at? Living Spaces? I literally would park in the same parking spot at about probably 4 o'clock in the morning or so, because I was waiting for Black Rock to open. So I needed a coffee, and nobody else was open really on my route in that area. So I'd park in Living Spaces to do my devotion. Some mornings I prayed, some mornings I read, some mornings I just sat there paralyzed between regret about the past, the pressure, and the present, and the fear of my future. Just struggling. One morning something pivoted, something shifted. Wasn't really dramatic, just quietly. I whispered a prayer to God, and I said something like this: "God, thank you for every time that you've carried me." And it wasn't strategic. It wasn't because I was like on my game in thankfulness. It was just, God, thank you for every time you've carried me. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for being with me. Thank you, my family. I just began to thank him for things that were real, past, present, and future. And there it was, that's it. But it seemed to change everything for me. Something shifted, and I moved into a new season. Suddenly I remembered God's track record in my life. The finances and the bills that kept getting paid, the relationships that he was restoring, the peace that he'd given me when I had none. And that parked truck at Living Spaces, the anxiety, it didn't disappear, but it lost its grip. Something shifted. Something shifted. Say that. Something shifted. Something shifted. And that moment taught me something I practice to this day. Anxiety imagines what can go wrong, whereas thankfulness remembers what God has already done right. You know what I mean? So what do you want to think about, right? What do you want to process? If you're anything like me, you've got a lot of trouble that you've got to deal with, process through. If you don't, I really want to party with you. That means hang out. Really, from then on, Living Spaces wasn't just a parking lot. I drive by and I remember it. Wow, I remember that spot right there. It's a place where I remember the peace of God didn't come from control, but a place where God reminds me. He's always been there. So I want to talk about briefly I want to sum this up in really simple. Again, it's not a deep discussion about Joseph, but I want to draw out these strategies that you see that happen with Joseph in regards to thankfulness. Three things, really. It's this. The first one is thankfulness doesn't mean we deny pain. Faith and following Jesus is not simply denying reality, but it's embracing reality in every form of it, not being afraid of any bit of it, but just saying, and I don't know where I got this. I know I got it from my wife. I got it from somewhere. It's this concept of, pain, come here and teach me what you need me to know. You know what I mean? Fear, come here, come close and teach me what it is that you need me to understand in this season and not to be afraid of it. See, we serve a God. We serve a Jesus who was raised from the dead, right? And there's nothing impossible with God. Nothing. So we want to be able to just be real. See, when we're hidden, that's where trouble happens. When we don't want to talk about it with anybody, that's where trouble happens. But the goal is that we would walk in something we call perfect light, right? Where there is no darkness, not no failure, not no mistakes, not no trouble, or not no weakness or immaturity, but just where his presence is in our lives. So thankfulness doesn't deny the pain. We see that Joseph didn't pretend Egypt was easy. He was betrayed. He was enslaved. He was falsely accused. He was forgotten in prison. But something happened in his heart. Remember, the guy was pitched into a pit. His brothers thought they murdered him. He got sold into slavery, right? That whole thing. They thought Joseph was long gone and dead. They were done with that. They figured they did the ultimate betrayal. I wonder when the moment was that Joseph thought, I remember when you were good. I remember how good you are. I remember that you were good to me. I believe that you're with me now. I believe that you're going to be with me tomorrow. When was that moment that Joseph began to think like that? Because you can see, like in Genesis 40, 15, he told the cupbearer after he interpreted his dream, and he said the guy got delivered, got back restored with his boss, so to speak. He said, hey, don't forget about me. All right, sorry if I spit. It usually doesn't go that far. It's only about a 2-foot trajectory. Don't, your front row shields, your salad shields, is that what they call that? Sneeze guard. Don't forget about me, he said. I was kidnapped. He used the phrase kidnapped. What do you think he thought about then? It wasn't thankfulness. I was kidnapped. I'm a victim here, man. So something had to shift. But it says then 2 full years happened. And something shifted. I believe that shift happened. I believe that shift happened during that time right there. God, because he said this in Genesis 45 and 7. God sent me before you to preserve life. God sent me before you to preserve life. He saw something. Something shifted in his thinking. I know why I'm here. He used adversity like currency. And he allowed God to spend it for his maturity. He allowed adversity to shape him. He didn't deny the pain. He said, come here, pain. Teach me what it is that you need me to know. I'm just going to hang in there. I'm going to buckle up, put on my 5-point harness, right? Those race car harnesses, and just go through the turbulation. Turbulation? Tribulation and turbulence. That's what you get. Turbulation. Joseph didn't thank God for the evil done to him, but he learned to thank God for his presence and his purpose inside the evil. See, thankfulness is not saying it didn't hurt. Thankfulness is not saying it didn't matter. Thankfulness is not saying it wasn't wrong. Thankfulness says this: God was working even when I couldn't see it. I didn't understand, but God was still present. I can't see it straight, but God was still there. What was meant for evil in my life, God used for good. Are you seeing the shift? Are you seeing the change? Like, there's a way to think about difficulty. And really, it's just a pivot. Can you pivot? Say pivot. Pivot. We just begin to think something different about the same circumstance. And God says it's a strategy for growth. It's a strategy for spiritual warfare. It's a strategy for accomplishing the vision and the calling that God has in your life. It's a strategy for better parenting. It's a strategy for better marriage. It's a strategy for growth in so many ways in our life if we just begin to say something different. It starts with what we speak, and then from there, the trajectory of that just changes. See, thankfulness doesn't erase the pain. It simply redeems the meaning of it. The second thing is this. Thankfulness heals the heart before the story resolves. That's the second part. Thankfulness heals the heart before the story resolves. Before it's said and done, something changes along the way. Something processes along the way. Just like with Joseph, the breakthrough didn't happen when Joseph became second in command. He was second under Pharaoh. It wasn't then, as soon as I achieved the greatest position that I'm going to achieve, that I reached the top, then everything was all better. How many of you had those kinds of thoughts? If I just had that job, if I just had that much money, if I just had that relationship, if I just didn't have that addiction, if I didn't just have that depression, I would be all better. We do this stuff all of the time. We envision a life better than what we have, and we end up stuck because we don't do the work right where we're at. The breakthrough happened before that point when he became thankful in the prison. And you see in Genesis 42:9, he says something like this. I remember, like, when the brothers came, they didn't recognize him, but they bowed down. And it says, I remembered the dream that I had about them. I love that. Just the word them. Because I always thought the dream was about him. When I interpret that dream and when I spend time meditating on that dream, I always thought that dream was just about Joseph, that his sheaf was bigger than all the others and he rose to this position. But the reality is, it's not about that sheaf, it's about these sheaves. He couldn't be what he was without them. It wouldn't make a full circle lest they didn't come and forgive and repent. But that whole process took place. And it says, I remembered the dream I had about them, yielding to the calling that God gave them. He had already done the work at that point. I'm in. I'm just waiting. If those boys didn't come back, if those boys didn't show up, his brothers, meaning coming to Egypt to get grain, if all that didn't happen, you would have Joseph alone in his calling. And God really wanted to get Israel into Egypt. Because without that, you don't have the Passover. Without that, you don't have the crossing of the Red Sea. God was moving a tribe because Canaan wasn't big enough to hold this Israeli tribe. It was so much, he had such a bigger plan for that. So he needed to move him into bigger territory. He moved him into Goshen. Such a beautiful narrative that's so much bigger when you look at it from a 1,000-foot view. But he got vision when he was in prison. We know Joseph's heart was healed before he saw his brothers again because of these two things. He named his sons. One of them Manasseh, which means God made me to forget all of my affliction. That's what he named his kid. The dude figured something out. Hey, come here. God made me forget all my affliction. That's what I call Maggie on a bad day. Hey, you. God made me forget all my affliction. Come over here. Time to eat. God made me forget all my affliction. Where are you at? You know? Joseph, he changed the name. He gave a name to his children that represented a pivot. Say pivot. He changed the name. I see. He didn't change nothing. It's the first timer. He gave a name, Manasseh, to his child because he pivoted from, I've been kidnapped, somebody get me out of here, to God made me to forget all my affliction. Gosh, Lord, would you give us that name? Would you give us that narrative when adversity and difficulty comes, or the adversity and the difficulty that we've had to wear? Lord, come. The second child he named Ephraim, which means God has made me fruitful in the land of my suffering. That's Chloe's name. So I've got these kids with names this long now, right? Matt, you know anything about that? Healing came before the apology, before these guys came and apologized. Healing had already happened in Joseph's heart. He'd already been working through the process before it ever happened. Fruitfulness came before restoration. See, what's cool about that, Matthew 6:11 says, Lord, in the Lord's Prayer, God, give us this day our daily bread. In other words, give me right now give me today what you have for me. Give me in advance what you have for me today. He's saying, pray like this. Ask for today's bread, which is promised for you tomorrow. See, that's what thankfulness does. It gives you tomorrow's promise. There it is. Okay, I've been trying to find it here. Gives you tomorrow's promise today. When we're thankful, we get to tap into a tomorrow reality. When we're full of anxiety and fear, we get stuck back here somewhere. But when you're thankful, you get to step into the kingdom. See, here it is. One of the things is this. You follow the King, fall in love with Jesus, get connected to King Jesus, be in love with his presence and his power, and as you are, you'll get changed by the kingdom. You fall in love with the King, and the culture of the kingdom changes your life. So don't worry about getting all of your behaviors and all of your sin and all of your issues resolved first. You can't add one bit to your holiness by your behavior. I don't care who you are. What it takes is you just getting in connection. And he'll convict you, he'll call you, he'll remind you, and he'll say, you know what, I know it's there. I know way more than you know I know. But here's the thing, just come close anyways. Let's just connect. Because abiding is what produces growing and fruitfulness when we abide in Christ. So thankfulness allows us to step into the future and experience before tomorrow gives us what we think it should. Joseph didn't survive his story. He redeemed it. We see in Genesis 50:20, what you meant for evil, God meant for good. You know that this is not a line from a bitter heart. It's not a line from somebody who is indifferent. That's a line from somebody who's been healed by thankfulness. When Joseph really had every right to hold a grudge, to demand revenge, to define himself by trauma, you know? When I was a kid, my dad died when I was a little boy, about 8 years old, and I remember from, early on, all through grade school, junior high, and even up into high school, I said to the story, I used to say things like this, I'm fatherless, I don't have a dad. Repeatedly. It was just my narrative. I would get to talking and someone would say something about your dad and I'd say, oh, I don't have a father. And it would always go, it always evoke, oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, no, it's cool. I'm all right now. I just don't have a dad. And people like, all right, but what do you do with that? It was just an identity that I had. And then after a dream one day, I was in a really spiritual location, another parking lot of a store. It's called El Pollo Loco. I'm in the drive-thru getting ready to get my classic chicken burrito, which is really good, by the way. And the Lord says, I don't want to ever hear you say again that you've been fatherless. I've always been with you. And it was kind of like, yes, sir, one of those moments. And I began to change my narrative. It took some time, but I began to pivot again. And I began to believe that God was doing something different in my life, you know. What's your narrative? Can you rewrite it from a perspective of faith? Because if you do, you get to enter into what was meant for tomorrow. You get to experience that today. Is there something in your faith for tomorrow that you really want today? Is there something you want freedom from today that you have it set off somewhere in the future? Write the narrative and begin to walk that out. And it's not this false positive confession. It's just living in connection with Jesus and trusting that that's his plan for your heart. He loves you. He does, right? You know that. He's got a plan for you. We just got to get off all this stuff, Chris. We got to get all that baggage off of us so we can begin to walk in what the Lord's already called you. He's already given you a name. He's already given you an identity. We just got to walk in that stuff. We got to get out of yesterday's trauma and yesterday's pain and begin to experience the life of God today. And it's not this super faith message. Sorry, that was a little close. I know. It's not this super faith message. It's reality that we just walk in and trust God that you've always done it then. You know? Doing good, Maggie. There's a place, I think it's Mark 9, Matthew 9. It says something like this. Jesus came and wanted to heal the father's son. And he says, do you believe? And the father said, I believe, but help me with my unbelief. I believe in the resurrection. I believe that Jesus cleansed me of sin. I believe these things, but help me with my unbelief. Help me with the day-to-day stuff. I'm cool with my doctrine. I'm cool with a transcendent cause in the future. I believe in the sweet by and by. I believe that he's going to come and enrapture me and I'm going to live with him after I die. I got all that stuff. I'm okay with that. So I'm not really being tested in that stuff right now. But what I need, help me with my unbelief today, right here. Help me walk in something today. I need victory today. So Joseph used his pain to bless those who caused it. Why? Because his heart was no longer chained to the past. Briefly, look at this right here, this slide. You can grab it, snap a shot with your camera if you want to. It's a lot of data there. I'm going to read a few of them. Left side category is defined by past, present, and future. Kind of mixed up. Anxiety's got a message. Look at number one. I'm not enough for what I'm facing right now. That's what anxiety will tell you. Thankfulness says, but God's strength is made perfect in my weakness. Come on. Look at number six. The old me disqualifies the new me. Thankfulness says, God uses everything. My past is now part of my testimony. Number eight, what if I lose what matters most? Thankfulness says, God has always protected and provided, and he will again and again and again and again. Number 10 says, in the present, I can't handle what's on my plate. Can anybody relate to that? can't handle what's going on. Sometimes it seems like it's overwhelming. That's an anxious confession that wants to control stuff. Thankfulness says, but God's with me right now, and he's carrying me through it. So Holy Spirit, would you come and would you change our narratives? Would you stand with me? Would you come, Lord, and change our narratives? Would you distill or instill within us thankfulness, Father, as a strategy, as a mechanism for transformation? Not just a positive confession or not just simply having good manners. When we enter into Thanksgiving even, it's such cliche, just Thanksgiving. But Lord, I ask that you would really define what we're thankful for and begin to help us make that shift and help us to pivot, Father. So Lord, we love you and we bless you. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you would come as we worship you right now. Let's worship, church.
Before the Lamb of God and Son. We're going to sing that again.